Good singing, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. Let's get our Bibles open now. Getting the Word of God here in just a few minutes. Hot July, middle of July, summer Sunday night, and we're going to get in the book. Don't walk out of this room. Stay right in here and hear this message tonight. Everybody get your Bibles open. If a little voice speaks to you and says, get up and go out, say, I will, just as soon as he gets through. That's right. That's the way to deal with the devil. John chapter 19. Luke chapter 23. Mark chapter 15. We'll look at these scriptures here tonight as a basis for where we want to bring this message. All right, nobody move now. Everybody be real still. There was too much walking in and out this morning. So we're going to try to stop that. Stay right in here and stay settled down now. You can wait till I get through. Make sure I'm on a little bit more than you. I've never heard a message on what I'm going to preach tonight. I've never preached on it, of course, but it struck me this week about Jesus bearing that cross for me and you, and they got that man, Simon, to help him carry that cross. You ought to be interested in this because he did all this for you. He did it for me. And if there's anything we need in our church and other churches in this generation that we live in, it's to fall in love all over again with Jesus and what He did for us on the cross. Wouldn't you agree with that? That is the crux of the Christian life. That is the foundation of being a child of God. Jesus died for me. And I love Him because He first loved me. That's it, in a nutshell. Now let's look at this scripture here tonight. John chapter 19 first. John chapter number 19. Look here in the Bible. Do just a little quick Bible study and then bring you the message. Won't be long. You'll hear in John chapter 19, verse number 17. John 19, 17. Here the Bible says, and he, they took him away to crucify him, verse 16. Verse 17 says, and he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. He did that for every time you've ever said a cuss word. So pay attention. He bearing his cross. So we know that at least part of that time, the Lord Himself had that cross on His back. And there's thousands of songs, poems wrote about that. See Him bearing our cross, walking up Calvary. Now, let's go back to Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15 tonight, and then we'll look at Luke chapter 23. Mark chapter 15, verse 21. Mark chapter 15, verse number 21. I want you to look at verse 21 of Mark 15 tonight and see what it said. And they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. So they had to ask this guy, Simon. They said, hey, help him. Help him carry the cross. So this guy takes over the cross and evidently carries it the rest of the way. Luke chapter 23. Now, over to your right, the book of Luke chapter 23 tonight. Luke 23, and we'll look here tonight at verse number 26. Luke 23, verse 26. Quickly tonight, look at it. And as they led him away, this is Luke 23, 26. As they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. Now I want to preach about this story tonight, and the greatest event in history was the day that Jesus bear our sin. To me, it is more proof that the Bible is the Word of God. I believe the Bible for a bunch of reasons, but that story out there, to me, even proves more the Bible's Word of God. Think about it. If men wrote the Bible, they would have never put that in there. If you'd have been just making up the Bible and you'd have said, now Jesus bore the cross, you would have said He bore it all the way. He carried the cross all the way. But they put, that shows you how honest those writers were. When something happened, they put it in there. And they said, this man bear his cross after him, named Simon, a Cyrenian. It makes me believe the Bible.
also, by way of observation, to me, this is one of the most important works that anybody in the Bible ever did. I think about the boy giving his bread to feed the 5,000. I think about people doing used by God to work miracles. To me, that's one of the greatest things anybody ever done in history. Can you imagine Jesus Christ bearing the sins of the whole world? Russia, China, Asia, Japan, Europe, South America, North America, and you getting to help carry that cross. My. What a ministry, brother. What an opportunity. The man bore the cross of Jesus Christ. What a blessing. That man went down in history as the man who helped carry the cross of Christ. Now I want to say one other thing by way of just of my observations tonight before I bring you the three parts of this message tonight. We have always heard, I have seen the movies, I have heard the songs, that Jesus fell beneath the load of the cross. All the movies have him walking up through here like this, and he was so weak from being beaten that he fell, and the cross fell on him. Now that might have happened, but the Bible does not say that's the way it was. I'm assuming tonight that he was so weak physically, they had already beat him all night long. They had already ripped his back to shreds. They had took that whip with those leather straps in it and jagged pieces of rock and steel and whipped his back, and that thing go around your back right here, and somebody just rip it like that and lacerate the parts of your body. And they said many times a person's intestines would just fall right out on the ground and they'd die. So by the time this scene takes place, he was already beat till you couldn't tell what he looked like. Can you imagine? The Bible said they covered his face with their spit. All of them stood and just spit in his face. And they spit all over where the spit was just coming. And blood run down his face. They mocked him. They ridiculed him. Now this is what you need to teach you, children. Jesus Christ suffered for them. And he suffered for me. And brother, they took him there. And they took the Lord. And they put him out there. And no doubt as a man, the cross was so heavy that he may have went. And they saw this man in heaven. It does not say he fell beneath the load. We assume that he might have. But it said they got Simon to come and bear it after him. Now, let's look at this tonight. And I want to say just a few things about it by the help of the Lord, just for a few short minutes this evening. We'll look here in the Word of God. In just a minute, I'm going to say some things that I believe will be a help to you. Let's think about him bearing that cross. I want to say three things about it tonight. And the first thing I want to say is the cross was real. There was a real cross. This is not a symbolic story. This is not a story where they say, oh well, symbolically speaking, he was burdened for the sin of the whole. No, sir. He was a real man. It was a real cross. Some people think because Jesus was God that he didn't feel the pain. But he was all God and all man. Everything me and you feel, he felt. If he stuck a pin in me right there and I could feel it, if you stuck a pin in him, he could feel it. If you took a bat and burned me tonight, he would feel it the same way I'd feel it. He would not allow his godhood to negate a feeling of pain that a man was feeling. He was not half God and half man. He was all God and all man at the same time. Now, we don't understand that. It's a mystery. He was God in flesh. His flesh felt all the pain and agony that you and I would have felt. It was a real cross. It was made out of wood. It was made from a tree. Some of these religions teach that the Lord, they try to tell you it wasn't a cross, that it's just a stick of wood like this, and they nailed like this right here. And they nailed his hands up there and his feet down here. The Bible said it was a cross. It was a cross. It was a cross. And if the Bible said it's a cross, it doesn't matter what they say, it was a cross. And his hands went out here. You say, how do you know that's the way it was? God showed you back in the book of Exodus when he told Moses and them to put that blood on the door to save them people. And he said, put it there. And he said, put it there. And put it there. And put it there. He didn't say, put it there and put it there like this. He said, put it there, 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 and there. Right through his feet, right through both hands, right through the head, and brother, there was the crown of thorns, the nails through his hands and through his feet. It was full of splinters. It was not a fictional cross. It was a real cross. It showed his humanity. And that's why we sing that little song. And sometimes in the choir, nail it to the cross. Nail it to the cross tonight. Nail it to the cross. Nail it to the cross. Somebody said this. They borrowed a bed to lay his head when Christ the Lord came down. They borrowed the ass in the mountain to pass for him to ride to town. But the crown that he wore and the cross that he bore were his own. The cross was his own. He borrowed the bread when the crowd he fed on the grassy mountainside. He borrowed the dish for the broken fish with them which he satisfied. But the crown that he wore and the cross that he bore was his own. The cross was his own. I'm saying tonight the cross was real. This is not something that religious people made up. This really happened. It was real. And he died on Calvary. Whoa! On the cross, at the cross, where Jesus paid the price for all of our sins tonight. I'm telling you, it's the best news the world's ever heard. Lord of God, hallelujah. I'm shouting in my soul tonight to think that he loved me enough. I mean, this is a real story. The cross was real. The cross really happened. It took place, thank God. Just as I'm standing here tonight, there was a day when Christ stood on Calvary and they nailed his body to the cross. Amen. The cross was real. There was real suffering. There was real pain. I want to say secondly tonight, the cross was heavy. The cross was heavy. All the sins that he bore. Amen. They say he fell beneath the load. I don't know that. Maybe it may have been like this. They started out over here and he had to carry the cross. I'm not sure. I've heard it said how far it was from where they gave it to him to where he was to be crucified. The place of skull had to go up Calvary's mountain. I'm assuming that he started out carrying it. He had already lost so much blood that his body was weak. You know, you lose pretty much blood. You don't have a lot of strength as a man. And the blood was already running down his legs, across his knees. Blood. I mean, just blood everywhere. I mean, awful blood. And boy, they put that cross on him, and Jesus bore his cross, and no doubt he took off like this. I'm assuming this part now. I don't know this. And he went like this, and he went like this. And he went like this the whole time he was walking up through here. He was doing it for that cuss word you said. He was doing it for that lie you told. He was doing it for that party that you went to. For that bar you sat in. He walked. And he walked like that. He said, Lord, I'm going to pay for it. I'm going to pay for that sin that they committed. And no doubt his knees began to go down where he couldn't carry it no more. And maybe he went all the way down. I don't know. But they got this guy and said, hey, you, come here just a minute. Come here. And Simon came over there. And they said, all right, stand up. And Jesus, no doubt, was weak like this. They put that cross on Simon. Wasn't nothing wrong with him. He hadn't been beat or nothing. So he began to carry that cross. You know, that cross was heavy. I've heard it said that a Roman cross in those days could weigh as much as 300 pounds. It was like made out of cross ties. I don't know that. But I know one thing. It wasn't light. And it had splinters. They didn't smooth that thing down like this piece of wood right here. Just old rough cut wood. And the splinters and the roughness of that wood on that guy's shoulder. And old Simon came out there and Jesus walked. And he kept going up through there. The cross was heavy. Now I'm going to say something here tonight that I've never heard a preacher say. I hope I'm right. I don't know why. I want to think in my mind, why did the Lord allow that man to help carry that cross? Now let me make something very clear. That man did not share in our redemption. That man did not share in paying for any of our sins. Jesus did not partially pay and Simon pay. Jesus paid for all our sins. Glory be to God! I'm not going to hell because He paid for my sins. Make that clear. But I'm going to tell you tonight, it might be, some of you Bible scholars, correct me if I'm wrong, it may be that the Lord was letting us see that we can somehow bear our cross and help the Lord have a burden as He saves sinners and reaches people with the gospel and say, maybe tonight, me and you need to carry our share of the load. He paid it all, but brother, maybe we ought to share that burden for the sins of the world. People can be saved. I don't know that for sure, how all that fits in theologically or doctrinally, and I don't know if anybody else does. But I know He prayed for us in the garden. I know He prayed for us in the garden of Gethsemane. So the Lord is over here in the garden. He is saying, Father, let this cup pass from me. I've heard it argued. I've heard of great preachers who said that Jesus was in the garden there praying that He wouldn't have to die. He was not praying that He wouldn't have to die. He knew He was going to die. He knew from the time He opened up His eyes in Bethlehem's manger to the time He closed them on the cross that He was going to die for my sin and your sin. And so that Shining Light Baptist Church could have a ministry and could reach bus kids and run buses and send out missionaries. He knew that. So the Lord looked down and He said, Father, let this cup pass from me. What does he mean by that? He's talking about that minute, obviously, when the Father, for the first time ever in history, would turn His back on the Son, and He'd have to say, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And you know what He meant? Because God cannot look upon sin. And God put all the sins, every sin I've ever committed, since I was a little kid, every sin you've ever committed, since you was born, every sin that every rock singer, every athlete, every blasphemer, Hitler, Marilyn Manson, Charles Manson, Elizabeth Taylor, everybody out there in the world has ever committed, it was all put on him. And the Bible said God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I'm telling you something, glory to God, brother. That's the best news the world's ever heard. Listen, He became sin so I could become what He became, what I was, so I could become what He was. Glory to God, He became sinful so I could be righteous. He took your sin, and that's why you ought to love Him. That's why you ought to put Him first. That's why you ought to serve Him. That's why you ought to teach your kids right. That's why you ought to read His Word. That's why you ought to wear this. Hallelujah! The cross was heavy. Amen! Thank God. Listen, He was willingly. He prayed for us. Years ago, as many of you know, Miss Parker used to pray for me while I was preaching. And I appreciated that so much, how that she'd pray for me while I was preaching. Miss Kerr, she texted me this week, and I was having her to pray for us up in Virginia, and she prays for me while I'm preaching, and lots of other people, thousands of other people. And it helps, don't it do you good to know somebody's praying for you? But I tell you, I people say, well, pray for me. When you ask somebody to pray for you, there's power in that. I want y'all to pray for me. You know, last night we was up yonder in Virginia, and there was a stage. You had to come up like this and come out on stage to school. And so I was out here, and I was getting ready to preach. And Kelly was over there, and she turned the lights off for me, and the preacher was over yonder turning the big lights off in the house. And the devil got in there, and he tried to fight that thing. And you know what I done? I began to preach.
I started preaching, and it was almost dark. You could see the light coming in that gymnasium. I'm telling you, y'all, you don't know what it's like to preach if you ain't never preached. It's a whole lot different than it looks like when you're sitting there looking and you're up here doing. It's like bees are swarming around your head. It's hard to concentrate, and it's hard to get your thought. And sometimes it just feels like you just can't get. I'm telling you, I ain't never tried nothing like this in my life. I mean, everything else you can sort of figure it out, but preaching's different. It, you're getting help from somewhere else. You're getting thought from somewhere else. It's just a different thing. I was trying to preach last night, and I looked over there on them steps, and she was down on her knees praying. And buddy, she was down like this, and she was just praying. And I thought, glory to God, hallelujah. Feels good to have somebody praying for me. And I preached about 20 minutes, and I looked, and she was still down on her knees praying. She probably didn't want me to tell that, but I'm telling you, it meant something to me to know I had somebody over there praying for me. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. Tell you something to make you shout. Brother, up there tonight, the Bible said he's up there making intercession for me and you. Glory to God, hallelujah. When I mess up, when I'm sorry, when I backslid, he's up there saying, Father, forgive him. Father, forgive him. He's old daddy. He ain't got no sin. Hallelujah. Glory to God, rat. That's good, ain't it? I'm glad. Thank God somebody loves me enough to care about my sin and make intercession for me. Hallelujah. Get your eyes off me and get them on Jesus, people. Look to the Lord. Look to the Lord. Get your eyes on the Lord and you can shout too tonight. The cross was heavy, but he bore it anyway. You want a man? There's your man. You want to see a man? Brother, there's a man. Thank God. He bore the cross. Think about it. Think about it. Somebody said this. I saw one hanging on a tree in agony and blood, who fixed his eyes on me as near the cross I stood. Sure never to my latest breath can I forget that look. He seemed to charge me with his death, though not a word he spoke. My conscience felt alone my guilt and plunged me in despair. I saw my sins his blood had spilt and helped to nail him there. A second took a look which he gave, which said, I freely all forgive. My blood is for thy ransom paid. I died that you could live. Number three, and I'm through. The cross was brutal. The cross was brutal. We have no idea how bad it really was. We see people, we see hell where we go. We see crosses. We seen them big ones, you know, they put up on the side of the interstate, them great big ones like you get over at Monterey. And I like them. I like them. Thank God for them. Some of them atheists got upset. I said, good. Glory to God. Hallelujah. They need to see the cross. Good for them. They'll be all right. We have to look at their trash everywhere we go. Ain't nothing wrong with them seeing a cross or a Bible. Say amen right there. I'm telling you, brother, I'm glad for the cross. But we have a tendency to think, we almost have a tendency to think it's painless. And you see Jesus on the cross, and you see Him in these movies, and you're sitting there like this, drinking a Coke and eating popcorn and everything in the comfort of your home. It wasn't like that. Even in the Passion of Christ, I mean, it showed some brutal stuff. But brother, there wasn't music in the background. It was ugly. It stank. It was awful. Two or three of y'all mentioned carrying them that's on the other side of Nashville at that big Laurel Lynn thing they go to every year this time of year, and she sent a picture, and everybody said, pray for Dax, you'll be all right. Well, it wasn't Aniston fell off of something and cracked her side of her head on the trailer hitch. And we were up there the other day, and somehow I know my phone worked, and she sent me a picture, and there was Aniston with a big gash above her head right here. And have you seen it? It was that wide. And when I first seen it, my stomach went, boom. And I'm a grown man. It was like this, and Carrie said, 6 stitches inside, had sewed up the muscle, and then more on the outside. Took her to the hospital.
And then the next time she's out there running around, her little boy running right into each other and tore them loose again, had to do it again. I'm just saying that one little cut on her eye, that one little cut on her eye turned my stomach. So I seen that blood. When I seen that skin, that muscle like meat inside, it was open that wide. And I almost got sick. Well, I got a strong stomach. And I said, oh my goodness. Oh, and Kelly said, I don't, I can't stand to look at that. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? The Bible said his visage was marred more than any man. You could not tell what he was. When they got through with him, they ripped his face, they ripped his jaws, they ripped his eyes, they ripped his ears, they ripped his neck, where it was just blood, cuts and gashes and cuts and gashes all over him. Father, it was brutal, brother. It wasn't like these pictures you see in the Christian bookstore where a little couple little cuts here and a couple little cuts there, and he's like this. You know, brother, his face, anybody looked like hamburger meat. Well, they plowed and up his back like furrows, like you took a trowel, one of them things, a plow, and plowed up his back, a tiller, and went up his back and cut the meat and the muscle out of his arm. It was brutal tonight. It was awful. And I'll give you what he said when he's on the cross. He said 7 things. Here's what he said. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Luke 23. Number 2. Verily I say unto thee, to the thief, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Luke 23. Number 3. Woman, behold thy son, to his mother and John. Behold thy mother. John chapter 19. Number 4. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? In Matthew 27. Number 5. I thirst. See him there on the cross. His face, you couldn't even tell what it looked like. Blood just pouring down there. And he's saying, I thirst! That's his humanity. You know why he thirsted? So me and you wouldn't have to. You know why he suffered? So I wouldn't have to. You know why I took the wrath of God? So it wouldn't be poured out on me. Nobody shouldn't have to beg you to be faithful to church and pay your tithes and witness and tell somebody. You ought to love to do it for His glory. We don't serve Him because we're have to. We serve Him because we love Him and we want to serve Him. I don't serve God because, oh well, I got to go to church. Everybody will pay me. I got to be there. No, you ought to do it because you love Him. What He done for you. It ought to be second nature. Number 6. It is finished. See, the first thing He ever said in this world that's recorded was, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And the last thing He said was, it is finished. He finished the Father's business with one more word. Number 7. After He said it's finished, He said, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. Fell over like that. His spirit went to God. His soul went into hell and into paradise and brought Abraham and the saints of the Old Testament and preached to them. And his body went to the tomb for 3 days and 3 nights. And buddy, when that thing was over, I ain't got time to preach on the resurrection. I'm preaching about the weight of the cross. But it's excruciating pain. That's why I like them song that says, Jesus, what a friend of sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends, forsake me. He has cleansed and made me whole.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, keeping, loving. He is with me till the end. The song said, I found a friend, oh such a friend. There's none like him, none other. The song said, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grace to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. I don't know that he fell beneath the cross. I sort of think he might have. But I don't know it. I can imagine him saying, I'm doing this for Danny. I'm doing this for Danny. And he'd lost so much blood that physically he just couldn't do it. And went down like this. 300-pound piece of wood on his back. And they got that guy to come over here and say, help him. And the guy picked it up and carried it on. And Jesus went up there and laid his body down and let them nail him. They didn't have to chain him up and drag him up there. He laid it down. They didn't take his life. He gave it. He gave it. I want to say tonight that I love him for what he's done for me. I love him for what he's done for me. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. I ain't been a great Christian. I'm a sorry child of God. But ain't nobody ever cared for me. I can't care for me. And I love him tonight. And I, you know what I want to do? I want to get my life as close to him as I possibly can. And I wonder if you'd do the same thing. Come up here and play something, Miss Desi. I want her to just play something. It don't matter what it is. We're not going to stand. We're not going to sing. I just want her to play something. And I wonder tonight if you'd just meet me here. Just holler and say, Lord, I love you. And I thank you for what you did for me on Calvary nearly 2,000 years ago. I love you, Lord. And you sure have been good to me. And I want to serve you all the days of my life. I'm a sorry child of God. I'm a sorry Christian. Lord, I've failed a million times. But Lord, if you'll give me grace, I want to do better. Let's pray tonight. Let's pray tonight. Don't you let the devil, or somebody at work, or your boss, or your husband, or your wife, or your hurt feelings, or stuff you have to deal with at home. Don't let it stop you from living for the Lord. Young people, don't let the world keep you from living for the Lord. Young people, don't let the devil and music and the world's temptations keep you from serving God.